Hi, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo. This is program number 490. If you'd like to have a copy of it, Sharon will tell you how at the end of the program. It's absolutely free, but please mention whether you want a CD or an audio tape. We have them both. Postage and handling is taken care of also. However, if you want to spare your life a lot of trouble, if I were you, I would give tithes and offerings. There are actually millions upon millions of people that are waiting to hear some of these messages. All of them, I believe. And there's millions of them would like to hear it on radio stations. We're in all the world, but there's some radio stations that we're not on. And people are listening a lot. We have a television studio over here. We need to make some television tapes so people can see them in Africa and India and here in the United States. And if we had the finances to do it, folks, we would be sending out television tapes to everybody that requests them. I have some excellent thoughts derived, collected out of the scripture for your instructions, for your edification. I've got Bible reading. I've got some songs and letters. But right now, let's go to the throne of the Lord and ask Him to anoint this person, myself, so that and that the Lord, Father God, that you'll open the hearts and the minds and the souls of people in Radioland, that they will discover the things that you want them to see and hear. You want to paint clear pictures in their thoughts of how odious sin is, and to be able to understand how to achieve eternal life in heaven and stay completely out of hell and the lake of fire. Lord, anoint me, anoint this entire program and everyone on it, that this might be a missile that is directed to the heart of sinners, because you came into this world to save sinners. And again, Lord, I thank you. I thank you from the bottom of my heart for all the finances that you've given us to be able to reach the whole world. But Lord, there's so much more. People would love to see the services. They'd love to see pictures of our church and the people in the church, the adults and the children, Lord, and the different facilities that we have. We're proud of everything that you've given us. I pray, Lord, that you'll rebuke the enemy of you, your enemy, and also the enemy of every living soul. Rebuke Satan, Lord God, in Jesus' mighty name. And let souls be saved and the church strengthened in Jesus' name. And everyone says amen.
Amen.
All right. Here's a song that is very dear to my heart. And everyone should know, because we are not able to enter the kingdom of heaven unless we are nailed to the cross. We have to take up the cross and follow Christ. This is the first commandment after we accept the Lord Jesus Christ. This song is called The Old Rugged Cross. And this is myself and our orchestra and choir backing me up. The Old Rugged Cross.
Mm-hmm.
Christians and everyone in the world actually are to take a lot of pain, great pain, collecting out of the Word of God the several scriptures, and there are a lot of them, with which the Spirit of God paints a very clear picture of how deformed sin is. And this is the reason for that, is that you may make it so odious to you and hateful to yourself and to your thoughts, when by laying these scriptures depicting how evil sin is together, all the entire scriptures telling how odious sin is, you shall see it in its true picture. It's like a portrait from the Word of God that the Lord paints, his drawing, drawn by so skillful and faithful a hand, which is the hand of God. The beautiful face of this godly lady. You know how beautiful Satan paints sin? Yeah. He paints it like the fair face, or the beautiful face of this goodly lady, whose beauty Satan does so highly. He builds it up very high, and he recommends it to you and to your wanton embraces. The people in this world, according to Scripture, are extremely poor and lost. Poor man. they sin upon Satan's credit and receive it into their heart. Their bosom, as Jacob did his wife, the first wife of Jacob. Remember her? Into his bed before he sees this satanic, to him it's satanic face, or knows well what it is. And therefore, as he in the morning found there to be not beautiful Rachel, as was promised to him, but a blurry-eyed Leah. So the sinner also is too late when his conscience awakens and sees himself miserably cheated and disappointed of what he looked for, and finds a purgatory instead of what he expected, a paradise. People don't know, if they don't know what sin is, if they haven't seen the picture of sin painted in God's Word, of how ugly it is, they expect that it's going to be a paradise for them, but winds up to put their souls in hell. And you say, there is no purgatory, Tony. I know that, but I'm explaining things to you, that there is sin and there are lies that make a lot of people think that there is a purgatory. Isn't that?
Yes.
Yeah, but there's no such place. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. No purgatory. But sinners expect, the people go to Las Vegas by the millions, I am told, with the idea in their head that they're going to come back to their house loaded to the gills with money. And many of them wind up to be dealers and barmaids there because they lost everything they had. I've heard of people cutting the cards, the deck, and for their house, and they lose it. And some have even lost their wives, I'm told, by cutting the cards. So now that you may, a Christian, the better see the ugly shape of this horrid monster called sin. Isn't that something that people don't see, how horrid it is? Observe from the Word of God these four branches or descriptions concerning it. Number one is the birth and extraction of it. Number two is the names given unto it. Number three, its nature. And number four, its properties. These are four different parts, things, particular things concerning sin taken from the Word of God. The first particular thing is the birth and extraction of sin. It's extracted from where? Who is sin's father? Do you know? From who is it descended? Does it descend from heaven? It's apparent that you people in the world don't know. If you did, well, then you and you knew how ugly of a place you're going, if you don't discontinue the sin, you'll go to hell in the lake of fire. The Holy God disowns it. It's not coming from heaven. He disowns sin, all right? Mm-hmm. just the sun can as soon beget darkness as God, who is the Father of lights. It's not the S-O-N, it's the S-U-N. The sun can just as soon beget darkness as God, the Father of lights, could. There's no darkness in the Lord at all, is there? Mm-hmm. Some people find it hard. I write differently than I talk. Okay, if I'm just going to be talking rapidly, I will not be talking the same way that I write. But this S-U-N, the sun, can as soon beget darkness as God can. God, who is the Father of lights. Now, do you understand?
Yes.
I know it was like groping there, but I like to do that. God does it that way, too. The Father of lights. The Lord, the Father of lights, he cannot be the author of sin. James 1:17. John 1:17 says, from him comes, quote, every good and perfect gift. And darkness is not a good and perfect gift from God, is it?
Mm-hmm.
No, because God is the Father of lights. That's James 1:17. Do you want to read it? Do you know where James is? Amen?
Amen.
James is one of my favorite. I mean, the whole Bible is my favorite. All the books are, but this is where this scripture is to be found. Go ahead, read it.
1:17.
Yes, ma'am. 1 James 1:17. You got it? All right,
yeah.
Go ahead, read it.
Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning.
There's not even a shadow when he turns. Every way he turns, it's light. But, oh, sin, whence comest thou? Whence art thou? Where do you come from, in other words? Thou art not God's creature. You didn't come from God. Sin didn't. Amen?
Amen.
So, he neither made you, I'm talking about you, sin, nor ever moved any person to do your producing of anything. He never moved any person to your production. So, you know, there's some people that they, the Bible says that they walk down the street and they see, they're constantly looking for lustful things. God is, have that happen to you, it isn't God that's producing that in you. Certainly, if it were from God, he would like and love it, wouldn't he?
Yes.
God likes and loves everything that he made. He made the heavens and the earth, and he said, it's good, very good. Amen?
Amen.
But he doesn't say that about sin. Everyone loves his own child. Right? If that was of God, he'd love sin, wouldn't he?
Mm-hmm, yes.
Huh? Though never so, it wouldn't make any difference how ugly the person is. And if God were prejudiced, he would, if he had a child, he wouldn't care how black it was either. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't care about the color of skin. He defined all of us, I mean, in a certain way, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
And so everyone loves its own child, no matter how ugly they are. I've heard people say that they have this child has a face that only a mother could love. Thank God for mothers. Amen? Much more does God like what he has begotten or what belongs to him. We find him looking back upon every day's work of a creature that he had created, and also the entire creation itself. And upon all, at last, pleased with what he had done, everything, all, quote, was very good. Amen?
Amen.
God looked at everything that he had produced, and he said, it's good, very good. Amen?
Amen.
Genesis 1:31. First chapter in the Bible. He produced everything, and it was good at first.
And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day.
All right, now I want you to go to Deuteronomy 7:22, Proverbs 6:16, Revelation 2:6, and verse 15:2-15. But of sin, so he loves everything that he made. He said it's very good. But what does he say of sin? Well, what does he think? What think ye? Okay, this is what I say. This is, what do you think? What think ye? When I look at the world, methinks that you love sin. You don't hate it, and the Bible requires that if we want to be of the Lord, we have to hate sin. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so, but of sin, what he thinks? You want to hear what God thinks about sin? Read Deuteronomy 7:22.
And the Lord thy God will put out those nations before thee by little and little. Thou mayest not consume them. That thou mayest not consume them at once, lest the beasts of the field increase upon thee.
Right. He sent the entire Hebrew nation into that area and told him them to kill all the sinners there because of their sins. Because God hates sins, and he hates sinners that refuse to repent. But he loves sinners that will repent. As a matter of fact, he makes them the sons of God. Amen?
Amen.
Now, Proverbs 6:16. This is what God thinks.
These six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him.
Keep going.
A proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood.
Well, do we have people today that shed innocent blood?
Amen.
Who?
Abortionists.
Huh?
The abortionists.
Well, I don't call it abortionists. That's a pretty name that the Vatican puts on to first-degree murder. Of 46 million children a year. The biggest Holocaust that has ever happened. Now, Revelation 2, verse 6 and 15.
But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate.
Yeah, the Nicolaitans are the unrepentant people that are compose the body of the Antichrist. So God hates sins. Amen?
Amen.
Because that's all they do is sin. There isn't any good thing that they do. Except a lot of people will say, I'll sell my soul for a block of cheese or a few cans of soup. they stand in line and they say, thank God for the government that's passing all this out to us. Actually, they do everything they can to destroy churches. Churches are the ones that do that. But in order to imitate, Satan likes to imitate the Lord and his church. So if he can, he destroys the church, and he passes out some goodies. But that isn't what it's all about. It's a block of cheese and some fruit and vegetables once in a while, because the church does that every day, the true church of God. And they are no respecter of persons. If a Catholic comes, or a whole Catholic church comes to us, and they want to eat, and they want something to take home, we do that. Okay, and every true Christian will do that. It doesn't matter, because we don't get any government money. It's very easy for the Vatican to hand out food because they're the ones, they run the IRS. All the money goes into their coffers, and they run the government, so all the tax money goes there. And to hand out a few pieces of cheese, piece of bread, an olive, it isn't that much for them at all. Because look at the buildings that they house themselves in, and look at the way that they've structured the world today. Again, verse 15.
So hast thou also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate.
So God hates sinners that don't repent, okay? Where he expresses his detestation and hatred of sin, from which hatred proceed all of those deceitful plagues and judgments thundered from the fiery mouth of his most holy law against it. So God shows his hatred by his directing plagues and judgments, lightning and thundering and every plague, all every kind of filthy disease, sickness, infirmity, all the tsunamis, the earthquakes, the dreadfulness of them, the cyclones. And destruction coming from every angle. The Lord is going to direct his judgment. It's going to thunder from his fiery mouth of the most holy law against it. When the law came unto Moses, there was thunderings and lightnings when God let the entire Israeli nation, the nation of Israel, hear the law. And the Bible says that sin is the transgression of the law. And Jesus said, I didn't come to destroy the law, I came to fulfill it. Amen?
Amen.
All right, God's entire holy law is against sin. So we know that sinfulness does not come from God. Amen?
Amen.
It wouldn't come from him because he hates it. And there's no darkness in him, and not even a shadow in him. Or does he ever even cast a shadow? When the Lord comes near you or into your life, you see no shadow at all, because all he is, he's completely, there's many things that he is, but one thing for sure, there's no darkness in him, there's no sin in him, and there's only light. He's the Father of lights. And these scriptures that we just read expresses his the way that he detests and the way he hates sin, from which hatred proceeds every when you see a little child, your child stricken with cancer, or you're giving birth to a child and it turns out to be a freak of some sort, why don't you look into your soul? God doesn't do anything for no reason, for naught. All right? There's something wrong with you. It's going to show up in you. You won't be able to hide it. And if you are very skillful at hiding something, the Lord will give you a deformed child. And you'll say, oh God, you know, so many people today say that they want to put their little children to death if they're born mongoloid or there's something wrong with them. And the Bible clearly tells us that God hates sin and he punishes sin. He judges it and thunders it from the fiery mouth of his most holy law against sin. No, not only the work, but the worker. Not only the work of Satan, but the worker of sin. Amen?
Amen.
The worker of iniquity, because the object of his hatred. Let's read Psalms 5:5. The object of his hatred. So that if God were the author of sin, he would be a hater of himself. Do you think God hates himself?
No.
Very good. It was a very good answer. God does not hate himself. Okay, read Psalm 5:5.
The foolish shall not stand in thy sight. Thou hatest all workers of iniquity.
Well, so we can see by the scriptures that sin is very hateful to God, very odious. And it should be very odious to you, because if you're not going to stand before the Lord forever, then you're going to be in the pit of hell, in the lake of fire. At whose door, then, does God lay this brat called sin? You want to get rid of this child, you have to leave it on somebody's doorstep. Usually you don't want this kid, this child, so at night you'll take the little brat that was begotten by you and search for a house, a likely looking house, and maybe this person will have take good care of it. Find a father. We gotta find a father for this brat sin. Surely, where would we find the father of sin? Huh? Well, you go to the devil. Amen?
Amen.
Jesus said, quote, ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. You're going to do what your father says to do, and that is to sin. But the Lord hates sin, and he hates the sinner, the unrepentant sinner. Amen?
Amen.
That's what you just read. Now that's John 8 chapter, verse 44. That's John 8:44. I'm not Spanish. I'm Jewish, but I'm learning Spanish as best I can. Okay, so John 8:44.
Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him.
Okay, so if the government, if you're not finished yet, are you?
No.
Okay, if the government is telling everybody to abort their children, to murder them, then I would say that government is of the devil. Amen?
Amen.
Because he's a murderer, and he's a liar. And you people love the devil because you vote those kind of people in. You don't want anybody that's straight and narrow, somebody that's going to heaven to rule over you. You refuse it. You will not have God rule over you. You've chosen Satan. Okay, finish it off.
When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a
liar. His own little brat. Amen? Then what?
For he is a liar and the father of it.
Yes, so everything that you see being done in this world today, in the world, with the exception of the light that comes from God's children, that's pouring this light into you, but the darkness does not comprehend it, doesn't want it, doesn't like it, hates light, and loves darkness. And again, in the same place, when he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, Satan does. For he is a liar and the father of it. Sin is a brat which calls the devil both father and mother. For because it is of the devil himself. Amen?
Amen.
So if you're a sinner, you're calling the devil your father and your mother. And really, Satan is somewhat of a morphodite. You can't really tell whether he's, this or that, whatever he is, whatever he's going to be. Amen?
Amen.
Even so, you're calling the devil both father and mother for... Because that's your father and mother, because it's all the things that you're doing are of himself. Even you're doing it of your own free will. The womb wherein it was conceived, did he beget it? And having begotten it, put it out to nurse to man. In other words, the Lord, when the Lord of a person is the devil, then he starts nursing mankind with his evil thoughts. And is no man, it was not man who was made to serve and enjoy the great God, his maker, or to set him up high. But he ups and suckles and carries this, his infernal master's child, about in his arms. Do you want to carry that ugly brat around in your arms?
No.
Why? Why? The easy, quick answer is, anybody know the answer? It's because God hates it. Amen?
Amen.
I don't want to carry anything around that God hates. Do you?
No.
Because sin is a deformity. And most people are having their little deformed children killed, starve them to death in their cribs, or they have an accident or something. The devil, your eternal master's child, you carry him about in your arms. Ah, you poor man. Whence art thou fallen? It is strange that the very remembrance whose offspring yourself goes does not strike you into a horror. Why is it that you're not horrified at this strange offspring of yours? So you're not horrified with it to see your precious soul debased into such servitude as to fulfill the lusts of that cursed spirit of the devil. So, never let us spit at which for suffering the devil's imps to suck on her body while we can prostitute our souls to any of his lusts. Why do people prostitute their eternal souls to any of the lusts of the devil? Because people do not abhor the things. Their suffering by the hand of the devil's imps, and they keep sucking on Satan's body to nurse. They nurse on sin's body. Because what you're doing is prostituting your soul to all the different varieties of Satan's lusts. Number two, the second particular thing that the Lord wants us to know, because he hates sin so much, regarding sin, the names and the titles with which the word stigmatizes the sin, all the different varieties of sin. And God, to be sure, miscalls more of them. If a thing be sweet, he will not say that it's evil or bitter. No, he will not say that it's bitter. If it's good, he will not call it evil, for he claps a woe upon his head that does sin. Isaiah 5:20. We're never to think that honey is in the pot if God writes poison on its lid. Okay, go ahead, read it.
Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter.
So we're never to think that honey is in the pot, if it's in the pot, when God calls, puts a name on the lid, he puts poison on there. And that's what God calls sin, in case you can't put what I'm saying together. You understand?
Yes.
He doesn't call sin sweet. He calls it poison because it poisons the entire soul. We may say every sin in this respect would... I don't know if you people don't know the Bible, but we're talking about Abigail, who was a good lady, very good lady, but her husband was wicked. Would Abigail of her husband, as in its name in Scripture, so is it. I mean, if God is calling sin, sin, well, then it is sin, all right? And it's very plain in the Word of God what sin is, amen?
Amen.
If God calls it folly, then there is no wisdom to be found in it. Folly is not wisdom. You see people jumping up and down on television and just shaking their heads and thinking that everything, they're having fun, but there's no wisdom in it, is there?
No.
Rap music. The devil indeed teaches sinners to cover foul practices with beautiful names. Because the sinner puts beautiful names to sin. Ah, sex. Ah, drugs. Ah, it's so beautiful, the devil tells you. And you say it too. Such as superstition must be styled by Satan and his people as devotion. Are you devoted to your sin? Covetousness, thrift, pride, in appeal, handsomeness. This is all the beautiful names that he puts to it. We can't give tithes and offerings to the Lord. We call it, put a label on it. It's thrift. Amen. Mm-hmm. That's a beautiful name for it. And covetousness. Instead of wanting something that doesn't belong to you. Pride. We have to be proud Americans. I'm proud to be an American when there is no more America. We're under international law now. Okay, there's no U.S. Constitution. Yeah, whenever they want to use the word U.S. Constitution, they do it, but that doesn't mean that it's there for those of us that are preaching the gospel. In appeal, I'm appealing. Handsomeness, beautiful. These are things that they call, the outward appearance of somebody. Looseness. Loose like a long-necked goose. That's beautiful to be loose, huh? Hang your head down, Sloopy. Sloopy, hang down, whatever. Liberty. Beautiful. And madness, mirth. And truly, there is great need for sinners to do this, to make this foul, ugly dish go down with less regret. There are many who have made a hearty meal of those flesh or the like, carnal under a better name, whose stomachs would have risen against it if they had known what it really was. Well, we have some letters. You know, the Lord wants to paint this picture of sin to you to show you how ugly it is. And what I'm telling you is directly from the Word of God. God hates sin and sinners. So if you're wondering, why is God doing this to me, and you continue sinning, well, you must be a little bit crazy, or a whole lot crazy. Amen?
Amen.
Because God plainly tells you, and then you think you can get by with sinning without any retribution, and it just doesn't happen that way. All right, so let's read a couple of responses here. We don't want to close this program without reading some responses. Okay, because people are sinners out there, and some of them, when they hear this word of God, they repent. Miracles happen in their life. They totally give up sin. Go ahead.
From Granada Hills, California. Dear beloved Pastor Lamo, Christ's gift to humanity, I listen to you, and I care what goes on in people's lives. I respond wholeheartedly to what you say. I listen to you every morning and every night and during the daytime too. It's your voice and tapes that keep me sane in this insane world of corruption, lies, and deceit.
Yeah, sin. Amen.
Amen.
Poison. Poisoning people's souls. How they will regret it on the day of judgment. Then what?
I was even going to request prayer from your ministry to help me dodge Satan's fiery darts at me every which way I turn.
Oh, it's everywhere. Then what?
God surely blesses his children by letting you stay here as long as you have. Much love to you and yours in Christ, Nan from Granada Hills, California.
Okay, do you have another one?
Yes, from Suyana, Peru. God bless you, brother. I want to tell you of a blessing that happened these last few days. We were in a place that is 9 hours away from Suyana, and we began to distribute your literature. And at this place I recognized a professor from a school. The children are 14 years old, with 160 children. We distributed your literature in sections. The professor gave herself to the Lord and the children as well, so we prayed with them, all of them. Now we have another Tony Lamo Ministries church in a location called Suyana, Peru. The sister that got saved is called Yosefa. God bless you. Pray for us. Send 300 of your gospel literature to this sister and 121 Messiah books for her and the children. They also want to be distributors of your literature. Send the literature and the Bibles in packs of 5,000. Blessings, signed Andre from Suyana, Peru.
So we have hundreds and even thousands of letters like this. And it's just impossible unless you join our team to send literature, Bibles, and all these things. It costs so much money, even the postage. So right now, we're not so worried about the money, because if God sends the money in, we're going to spend it on some winning souls. But what we're interested in is your soul right now. And if you want to be saved rather than be an ugly-looking brat to the Lord, if you want to be saved to look beautiful before the Lord, then say this precious prayer unto him. Say to the Lord, "My Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, that he's your Son, Father. And I believe that you, Father, raised Jesus from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. I open the door of my heart, and I invite you into my heart, Lord Jesus. Wash all my former filthy sins away in the precious blood that you shed for me. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will save my soul. I know, because your word says so. Your word says that you'll turn no one away, and that includes me. Therefore, I know that you have heard me, and I know that you have answered me, and I know that I'm saved." Now just thank and praise the Lord. And if you'd like, for reviewing purposes, or to give one of these tapes or CDs to somebody else, this is program number 490, and you can order. It's free of charge, including the postage. So here's Sharon to tell you how you can receive a copy of this.
Go to alamoministries.com. or write to Tony Alamo Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 6467, Texarkana, Texas 75505, or call area code 479-782-7370. That's 479-782-7370, or fax to area code 479-782-7406.
Praise the Lord. This is World Pastor Tony Alamo saying tune in tomorrow for another message to lead you into all righteousness of the Lord. And right now, the Martins are one of my very favorite singing groups. And here they are to sing for you, to you, softly and tenderly.
Softly and